Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. Thank you for using my website. I think you'll find something that will help you there. If you're starting a business, if you're growing one, if you're trying to get rid of one, we got something that will help you there. You can listen, you can read, you can ask questions. You got 5 seconds, 15 minutes, anything on any topic under the Small Business Sun. We got something that you can do there. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to take the poll question right there on the homepage. We ask a different question every week, and we'll know what you think. And then we'll report back to you how the poll went. You'll be able to see how it goes when you click, but we'll tell you how the final results was in the newsletter the next week, and I'll talk about it on the show the next week, too. Richard DeCaser is our guest. He's an economist for the Parthenon Group in the great city of Boston, in the great Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Richard and I have been friends a long time. He's been a member of our Brain Trust for over 10 years. Richard, you used the word incompetence a minute ago, and I took issue with you a little bit in that application. But now as we talk about members of Congress getting together, I wonder if it applies now as they try to debate the debt crisis, the debt ceiling, I should say, the financial matters of our government. It's amazing to me. I'm just going to say this one thing, then I want you to tell us where we are. It's amazing to me that these people, these so-called leaders on both sides of the aisle, are debating this and talking about it and then coming out and reporting to us what's going on as if what they're doing is completely normal. That's amazing to me, Richard.
Well, I'll tell you, the craziest part about
this... Where's the shame? Richard, if you and I did that, you and I would have shame. We'd be ashamed of ourselves if that's how we ran our business.
But understand this. The Congress and the White House got together last December, just 8 months ago. They joined hands and they passed a budget which had within it tax cuts, Social Security breaks, and various spending the allowances that were budgeted for the balance of the year. With that legislation that was passed and signed in December, it was obvious that at some point this spring or summer we were going to run through the debt ceiling. So everyone voted, not everyone, but the majorities of both houses voted for legislation which was destined to breach the debt ceiling. Then, 6 months later, the debt ceiling is approaching and everyone is flabbergasted. Oh my God.
You're making my point.
Exactly. So, you know, the actions taken that brought us to this point were very deliberate, were very carefully thought through. They happened 7 months ago, and that we're in this position should be of no surprise to anyone. So why does the debt ceiling exist? I think realpolitik folks would say, well, the reason it's out there is because it forces these tough decisions. In other words, even if you saw it coming, without that ability to force hard choices, that they wouldn't happen. So I think the debt ceiling should be eliminated. I think it's a bad law. I think, you know, it should be already, as it is, embedded in legislation for budget items elsewhere. But the point is we've reached this time, and I guess if we're going to find any solace whatsoever in this, it looks like, and we're still far from a done deal, that what they're going to do is actually pretty serious. I mean, it looks like a $3.5 to $4 trillion 10-year reduction. That's always funny because you're comparing to a baseline.
It sounds like there might even be some tax reform in this last thing I've heard.
That would be great. That would be great. You know, there were a couple of bipartisan commissions that put out studies last November, last December, Republicans, Democrats alike, very centrist-type folks, very clear thinking. Everyone agreed the tax code is a disaster. It's full of pitfalls, loopholes. Most people can't understand their way through it. I say most literally, and simplifying it and lowering
the only people it serves, the only people the tax code serves are the politicians.
Well, and those who, you know, who influence the politicians.
That's my point. They're all part of the same dance.
Now your listeners are mostly from the small business community, and I would assert very clearly that they're paying a higher share of their taxes, of their income in taxes, than are their much larger brethren. And it's all a matter of influence, and again, if we get the kind of reform that has been discussed in the past day, that would be good news.
Yeah, and I hear that the part of this may be to eliminate AMT, alternative minimum tax.
That's right. That's right. You know, I've been a financial economist.
Can that be true?
Well, it could be. Yes. Whether it happens or not is still unclear. But I've been a financial economist for over 20 years, and come tax time, I always have to rack my brain figuring out which category I fall into, and whether things like the home mortgage interest deduction are even apply to me above a certain level because the AMT kind of subverts the normal tax code. Getting rid of that also, good idea.
Let's keep your economist hat on for a second, because this debate that's been going on about the budget and everything, and the debt, and what to do about going forward in the out years, I mean, they're arguing over numbers that are not going to solve the long term problem we have. They're only going to chip away at it. I mean, Richard, America has a serious multi-generational, multi-decade financial problem. We got a business model that's not working right now.
Well, you know, again, Jim, I'm kind of in a little gray zone also here, because we've seen what I've seen of this legislation is a two-page outline, which is very cryptic and not at all clear. But if you take it at face value, they are actually chipping away in a pretty meaningful way at some of these long-term problems. Social Security, for example.
Yeah.
You know, that could be fixed relatively easily. There's benefits payments. They go up every year. Economists agree that the formula used to increase those is probably too generous.
Do you like means testing?
Well, yes, I do. I do, to some extent.
I think means testing has a place. I do. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Richard, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's economist for the Parthenon Group. It's Tintel. I'm Jim Blasingame. I want to see what Richard thinks about the economy going forward as we continue our visit with him.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.